Good morning, brothers and sisters, those who are here, those who are watching or listening online, wherever you happen to be. We've had another week, we've got another opportunity to come here and worship God together, to be with each other and to help each other walk towards God's kingdom. We saw last night the coronation of a new king, but we look forward to another crowning when Christ Jesus returns and is set up as king over all and the kingdom of God set up. This morning we have Mark Kerr, who's going to be exhorting us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. To serve as an introduction to what Mark's going to be talking to us about, we're going to have a reading from 1 Corinthians 12. It's going to be from verse 12 through to verse 31. So with that reading fresh in our minds, Mark's going to provide us with encouragement for the week ahead to the theme, Let Me Serve You on Our Journey.
Thanks, Kieran. And good morning, brothers, sisters, young people and visitors in our Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, I'd like to just say hello to Sophie and Vanessa, and we are all thinking of you at this time. Some of us may have heard the saying, it's all about the journey, not the destination. Why is it this world focuses on the journey and not necessarily the destination? The fulfilment of man's need for self-gratification in life is something he desires in the short term and not the long term. Many in our world strive for accolades or to be seen as someone that others praise or look up to. From movie stars to sports stars and even politicians, to name a few. They'll do whatever it takes on their journey to gain a sense of achievement in their lives, to feel important. This type of journey is all about self. Don't get me wrong, it's nice to work hard and have accomplishments in your life. We all have favourite hobbies or activities we like to enjoy. Some of us like to go kayaking or surfing, work on motor cars, crochet things, or even work out at the gym. I know I certainly do. Not work out at the gym, that is, although it would be a good idea if I did. Most of you know I have a passion for fishing. And with this love of fishing comes a bucket list, a list of different species of fish that I want to catch. Each time I'm successful in ticking one of these fish off the list, it gives me great pleasure, albeit in the short term. These moments make up a small part of our individual journey. The greater part of the journey is following our Lord Jesus Christ, who God has given to us as our guide in reaching the ultimate destination. And while on this journey, we have been given each other. I'd like to share with you an analogy based around the words from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body of members mentioned in this chapter can be viewed as a bus full of passengers on the road trip of life, all heading towards the same destination. The Bible is our roadmap, and the bus is our Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, there would be multiple people on the bus who know how to drive the bus, and as this is a long trip, there would be many driving stints along the way to be shared. There are those who prepared the bus for the trip, such as stacking the bags in the luggage hold, and those who are mechanically minded just in case there is a flat tyre or engine troubles. There are those people who provide food and drink to everyone on board. What about those who may get physically sick? Yep, there's first aiders, they'll be on the bus. And considering the journey is a long one, there are those who can entertain, some who can play instruments and some who can sing. There would be people on the bus who'd love to talk and those who are great listeners. Imagine yourself on this bus as one of these people, whether you were preparing lunch for the occupants or lending a heartfelt ear to someone who just needed someone to listen to, or you looked after the first aid kit and someone was ill. You would find yourself depending on others and being dependent upon. But what would happen if one or more of the passengers didn't carry out their role? Without a driver or mechanic, a troublesome journey. Without caterers, possible starvation. Without medical aid, long-term medical complications. With one or more of the passengers unable to fulfil their role, the dependence on each other would create angst amongst the occupants, and some would find the going tough or even lose sight of the destination. Our individual journey begins with us learning about God and his Son, and then the decision to step onto the bus through the waters of baptism and become part of the body of Christ. If you happen to be a newly baptised brother or sister, or it's been 12 months or so since your baptism, you might be still working out what part of the body you may be good at or even excel at. That will come in time. Something I've learned about myself on my journey is that I found it easy to do jobs I felt comfortable with. About 7 years ago, I experienced a defining moment where I had to step outside my comfort zone ecclesially. This was a wake-up call for me personally. It made me realise there was work to be done as well as what I was already doing. This doesn't mean you need a defining moment in your life like I experienced to realise that you can do more than you think. Just keep an open mind to giving different jobs a go, and to always remember that other parts of the body, your fellow brothers and sisters, are there to help and encourage you through this process to grow in the Lord. Paul tells us that the body has many members, verse 12 to 14 from the ESV. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptised into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Once baptised into the body of Christ, you become part of the many members that make up the body, not just a single member. Paul uses the word many twice in verse 12 and once in verse 14. This is the Greek word poulos, which is translated as words such as much and large, and the use of nouns such as abundant and plenteous. This made me think not just about our members here at Hyde Park, but the many members across the world who make up an all-encompassing body, the one body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't forget how amazing it is to be a member of this worldwide body, and how it will help us to remember that the body doesn't consist of one member. Verse 15. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Paul talks about parts of the body as though they don't belong, such as the foot saying it isn't a hand and the ear saying it's not an eye. This doesn't make it less important to the body. We might recognise our fellow members as a foot, a hand, an eye, an ear, or even a mouth or a heart. And sometimes we might think that our body part isn't up to scratch, or it's easier to think that there's enough hands or ears, etc., to make up the body. Well, think again. Come with me, verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. God didn't create us to be all the same. He created us to complement each other, just as he created our physical body to work in tune with its various parts. Verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? If we only looked after ourselves, it would easily become a road of self-importance, and there would be no body. Paul again uses the word many in verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. In verse 21, he describes certain members who dismiss other members who aren't needed because they appear to be weaker than themselves, or are less noticed because of the role they play. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it. We can't fob off our fellow brothers and sisters' gifts because we think ours are more important. We need to realise every member's contributions are as important as the next. Even if it seems insignificant or meagre, we are all integral to the making up of the body. Verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Our duty is to perform our role efficiently without murmuring or quarrelling. We are all individual members of the body that operate well together, and when we have the same care and devotion to the body, it functions unitedly. Together we can help and take care of our other members, not creating division, but as a collective group striving for the same goal. Engaging and cooperating with each other enables us to be there for each other when one of us are suffering, which at times is difficult. But we can help bear the load in some small way. And when another member enjoys a moment of rejoicing, we can all rejoice together as the body of Christ. Paul finishes here explaining the inner workings of the members of the body to the Corinthians with a concise statement in verse 27, saying, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." He also points out this to the Romans. Come with me to chapter 12 of Romans, verse 5. Romans 12, verse 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Even though we all make up the body of Christ, we must remember that our individual roles are extremely important on this journey. Back in Corinthians, verse 28, Paul continues with, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" We have all been blessed with God-given gifts that are manifested through the various tasks and duties we do. Once you become involved with ecclesial life, you will see there is a plethora of things each member can be involved in. From setting up the emblems on a Sunday morning, the monthly newsletter, the flowers each Sunday, picking up John Ellington to bring to the class or to the memorial meeting, hall maintenance, collecting the mail, organising your hall cleaning group, chairing a meeting or giving a talk, putting the bins out, teaching Sunday school, singing in the choral group, setting up for an ecclesial lunch, sending a card and flowers to members going through a tough time. I could go on. I hope you get the picture. You might think some of these are within your skill set or some not. Why not try something new and see how you fare? You might just learn a new skill in the process. From the littlest tasks through to the more involved duties, none are greater than the other, because they are all needed to make up the body here at Hyde Park. Whilst on your journey, take a moment to reflect on how you got to this point. It may have been your parents, it might have been an auntie or cousin, a school friend, or even a total stranger who was your first point of contact with God and his Son, our Lord and Saviour. Has the time been beneficial to yourself and those around you? Are you making the most of the time God has graciously given us before his son returns? I know I haven't made the most of my time. It's been 4 months to the day since I heard the news that one of our young people was no longer with us. We are completely in the dark to know how much longer each of us have. If we did know the length of time, how would we utilise our part of the body? Not knowing what time we have left should motivate us on the road ahead. And finally, verse 31. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Strong's translation of the word way in this verse is a traveller's way, a journey, or travelling, which is also the same Greek word hodos, used in John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How amazing is this? We are on our journey heading towards the ultimate destination, the kingdom of God, which is to be set up by our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way. Now, Paul doesn't stop there at verse 31. He prefaces chapter 13 with the final words, verse 1. And I will show you a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. And verse 13, so now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. What is the greatest act someone can show their love for another? Finally, come with me to the Epistle of John, chapter 15, verse 12 to 13. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. As we come to the central point of our meeting this morning, we partake of the symbols of the body and blood of our Lord, the bread and wine, knowing our Lord gave his body to be a living sacrifice for us, not just individually, but as a body of members on a shared journey, heading towards our final destination. With the time that remains, let's use our God-given gifts to the best of our abilities in love as the body of Christ until our Lord returns. Thank you.